Good morning. The watchword for this week comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Friends, let's reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. Friends, if you're able, please stand for the call to worship. Grace and peace to all in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed are those who gather in the name of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us give God our thanks and praise this morning. It is right to give our thanks and praise to God. Loving God, in all that we do this day, use us as a sign of your reconciling love. Let us remain standing for the opening hymn this morning, number 474 in your hymnal, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent and the last Sunday in the month of March. The weather is slowly getting warmer and we are firmly in the season of spring. As these things change and we head further into the year 2025, let us be mindful of all that is changing in our lives and in the world, and do the best we can to be God's agents of love to everyone around us. Before we continue with the service this morning, I have a few announcements to share with you. When you get a moment, please take a look at the inserts in your bulletin about upcoming events for the Unity Women's Desk, including the consultation this summer that will be attended by our own C.C. Tesh, among many others. Thank you to everyone who has donated food for our Lenten project this year. It's been very heartening to see all of the full tote bags, both in the church building and in the office, that folks have brought. We are still collecting bags of food for one more week. Next Sunday is the last day for the project. So if you haven't yet and would like to participate, please grab a tote bag from the church hallway, fill it up with some non-perishable food items, and then bring it back to the church. Sunnyside Ministry will come and pick them up at a later date. Friends, there will be a youth lunch after worship today in the fellowship building. The menu will be pancakes, bacon, and sausage. There is no charge for the meal, but a love offering will be taken to benefit programming for our children and youth of the church. After lunch, our kids will work on gifts and cards for the special friends Easter card boxes. Everyone is welcome to join us, both for lunch and for the following activities. Friends, the next day of prayer service will be this coming Wednesday, April the 2nd, at Fairview Moravian Church. It will begin at 11 o'clock a.m. and will also be live streamed from YouTube and Facebook if you'd like to participate but can't make it in person. The guest speaker will be the Reverend Scott Venable, retired Moravian minister and former pastor of Fairview. Holy Communion will be observed during the service, so if you're willing and able and you'd like to participate, Fairview Moravian Church this Wednesday, 11 a.m. 1 week from today, we'll have our next leadership board meeting in the fellowship building after worship. We're meeting a little early in the month of April to get our business in before Palm Sunday and Holy Week begin, so please be in prayer for that meeting for all of our board members. And friends, speaking of Holy Week, 2 Sundays from today, right here at Christ Moravian Church, we'll begin Holy Week with Palm Sunday. The Palm Sunday service will be in the morning, beginning at 11 a.m., our regular time for morning worship. It will include Holy Week readings, and I'm very happy to announce 3 baptisms will take place on Palm Sunday. Christopher Colton and Evie Hansen will all be baptized that day. So please join us on Palm Sunday for that special occasion for the beginning of Holy Week. For some provincial updates, friends, I'm happy to announce that the Reverend Angelica Regalado Cieza is accepting a call to be the full-time pastor of Fries Memorial Moravian Church. Sister Angelica recently has been the pastor of the Estamos Unidos New and Emerging Ministry. She's also served on the board of World Mission as their director of mission outreach. Angelica will be installed at Fries later this year in June. So please be in prayer for her beautiful family, everyone at Fries, Estamos Unidos, and the board of World Mission as they navigate these transitions together. Speaking Speaking of the Board of World Mission, there is an exciting new update from our international Moravian Church, the Worldwide Unity. The Moravian Church in Zambia has officially partnered with the Board of World Mission, and they've got some exciting things going on over there. If you're not quite sure where to point out Zambia on the map, it's a nation on the southern part of the continent of Africa. We have some brothers and sisters in the Moravian Church in Zambia, and the church there has recently grown. They're building churches, they're installing solar panels at schools they have there, they're developing training centers. But there's still work to be done, and their goal for the near future is to strengthen the education of their pastors and their ministry leaders. So please be in prayer for the Board of World Mission, for the leaders, and all of our brothers and sisters in the Moravian Church in Zambia, including Reverend John Sichilema. And friends, Reverend Jeff Coppedge has announced his retirement from active ministry. Brother Coppedge has served the southern and northern provinces since 2009. He most recently was the interim pastor of Union Cross Moravian Church a few years ago in 2022. So please be in prayer for Jeff, for his loved ones during this time of transition to the next stage of his life's journey. So friends, you may notice that there's something different about our table at the front today. For our first prayer today, please take note of the shawls and the blankets draped over the table. All of these shawls and blankets that you see were crafted with love and care by some of our members, but I'd especially like to mention quite a few of them were knitted by Sister Kathy Conrad before her passing last year. So in a moment, I'll come pray over these shawls and blankets. Eventually, they'll go to folks who need extra comfort and peace during a difficult time, whether that's one of our special friends who can't be with us every Sunday, someone in our community who's sick, injured, or grieving. They may also be given in times of celebration, such as to celebrate a marriage or birth of a child. But whether in grief or celebration, anyone who is comforted and wrapped in these shawls and blankets, our hope is that they receive the warmth and comfort from God during whatever momentous time in their lives they're experiencing. So friends, let us go to the Lord in prayer together.
Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now, and we welcome your presence to weave in and out and among of these carefully, thoughtfully, and lovingly knitted shawls and blankets on our table today. Gracious God, we pray that you imbue these lovely crafted items with your warmth, with your peace, with your grace, with your comfort, with your love, so that that love may be felt by all those who wrap themselves in it. Whether they're grieving or celebrating, whether they have support, or whether they are trying to do the best they can on their own, gracious God, when they are wrapped in these cloths, may they be reminded that you are always their support. You are always there for them. Your warmth and comfort stay with them always. As we pray over these blankets, so too do we pray for all who receive them. We give you thanks for always being a God who shows love and care and comfort in all the stages and times of our lives. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends, our responsive reading this morning will be Mercy and Truth. It's included as an insert in your bulletin, and it does come from a Moravian hymnal, not our blue book of worship that we use every Sunday in church, but from a shorter Moravian hymnal titled Singing from the Heart. You may remain seated. Let us pray the liturgy to the Lord together. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In him is the fountain of life, and in his light we see light. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The Lord is good. And his truth endures to all generations. The sacrifice which God desires is a humble spirit. O God, you will not reject a humble and repentant heart. And confess our sins, you are just and will keep your promise. You will forgive our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, hear us. Hear what the Lord says. I am the God who forgives your sins, and I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. Go and sin no more. Having heard God's gracious word of forgiveness, let us now profess our faith. We believe in God as our creator and loving heavenly Father. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. We believe in the Holy Spirit as our comforter and sustainer, according to the Holy Scriptures. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Friends, our first scripture lesson for today comes from the 32nd Psalm. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, will you join me again in prayer? Gracious God, we give you thanks today for your grace and forgiveness that you have for us without measure. So vast it is that we cannot begin to comprehend it. Gracious God, although at times we can see ourselves and see those around us as not worthy of that grace or that forgiveness, we pray today that you help shift our perspective so that we can see ourselves and as others as forgiven and beloved children of you. Gracious God, in this may we find dignity and worth, and may we be emboldened to continue living as best we can in this life you have called us to live. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Joshua. We'll be in verses 9 through 12 of chapter 5. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes, roasted grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year." May God bless the reading and hearing God's holy word this day. Friends, with our second hymn this morning, we will look ahead to some of the subject matter and some of the grief that we will feel during Holy Week. If you're able, please stand for number 345, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, today's sermon lesson will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to God through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to God, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making God's appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, about 35 years ago, 1990, one of the most important photographs in our history was taken. One that, in my opinion, was one of the most important photographs in our history. Some time ago, I believe I mentioned it in a previous sermon in a completely different text, but it came to mind when studying this week in 2 Corinthians. The picture was taken in space. A probe had been sent into space some years before 1990 named Voyager 1, an initiative of the folks at NASA. It was nearing the end of its mission at that time. It had been operating for more than 10 years, taking pictures of our solar system, collecting data from space to send back to NASA so that we might learn more about the part of the galaxy we live in. Now, right before the camera of Voyager 1 was powered down as it moved further and further out of our solar system, an almost unfathomable distance away, a billion miles-ish away from Earth, it took a final series of pictures, and they were overlaid on top of each other to make one image. Now, at first, you might not think there was anything special about this one image. In fact, it looks like a whole lot of nothing. Just darkness, the blackness of space. There's some lens flare going on. There's some rays of sunlight that reflect off of the lens of the camera. That's the only contrast you see. The rest of it is just nothing, emptiness. But if you looked closer on the right side of the image and then a little more than halfway up, your eye might barely catch something there. Something very small, maybe about the size of a period on a piece of paper. Something so small and so hard to make out that if I told you that tiny pale dot in the picture was our planet Earth, you might have a hard time believing me. Voyager 1 was so far away when it took the pictures that our entire planet, all of Earth, takes up less than a pixel in the final image. If you want to, I encourage you to look up this picture on the internet when you have time. It's incredible to behold. It's awe-inspiring and honestly a little scary, too. When I look at that picture and I try to find the dot that is our planet Earth, I feel a little tension in the pit of my belly. I feel some anxiety. I can't find it in the picture, but that's us. That's where we are, and I can't find it. It's hard to find the words to express the totality of what stirs within us were we to behold that picture. Now, part of the reason why the pictures were taken to begin with was an idea of a famous astronomer named Carl Sagan. And he had some beautiful words to say about the final result. In part, he says, from this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've heard of, every human being that ever was, lived out their lives. Every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every parent, child, inventor, explorer, teacher, every politician, every celebrity, every ruler, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. For us, the earth seems so unfathomably big, so huge, that we could never hope to experience everything that's on it in multiple lifetimes, let alone our own life. But in the grand scheme of things, Earth is a tiny speck in the universe, so small it barely shows up on a photograph. When it comes to the Earth and our place in the universe, perspective is everything. Now, I think the same perspective that we have towards our earthly existence can also be applied to our spiritual existence. In verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul explains that from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. Perspective is everything. We once might have thought about things in a certain way, but because of what Christ did, our perspectives have changed. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changed things forever. Nothing has been or will ever be the same again. Before we came to know Christ, we saw things as we wanted to see them. Before we saw people as we wanted to see them, before we even saw Jesus as we wanted to see him. But now we are beginning to see differently. For one, we see Jesus as he really is, the Holy Son of God, the Savior of the world. And we now see everyone else as well as they really are. Neighbors, family, loved ones, siblings in Christ, full of the sacred dignity of being beloved children of God, all of us sharing the responsibility to care for each other and the pale blue dot where we live. Friends, this change in perspective is made possible because of what God has planned for us. Humanity, God's creation, the ones to whom God has entrusted the world. As the Apostle Paul puts it in today's scripture, God's plan for us is reconciliation and recreation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we've already talked about some of the reconciliation part in recent weeks. Because of what God did through Jesus, because God gave Jesus new life after a horrific and unjust death, the wounding that we sang about a little bit in the past hymn, that same new life is made possible for all who believe. God makes something out of seemingly nothing. God brings justice out of an unjust situation. God shows love and compassion to the Son of God when no one else stepped in to act on his behalf. When the Roman Empire put an innocent man to death, God spoke up and said, "Your empires mean nothing to me. I am God. This is my beloved Son, and he is going to live." Because of that, we can be good with God. It's just as awesome and scary for me to think about as the picture of the pale blue dot. It's an event so powerful that it changed things forever, so remarkable that it changed us forever. Now, the second part of that point Paul makes in 2 Corinthians 5 has to do with recreation. We can think of reconciliation being us getting good with God because of what happened to Jesus, but we can think of recreation as being something different, because recreation implies that something new is happening. We're not the same anymore. Once we go into relationship with God, it's not the same person entering the relationship, it's someone different. Recreation speaks to the fact that because of what God did through Jesus Christ, everyone is able to have eternal life. And in the one sense, yes, eternal life in our place in heaven after we leave this earth, but also eternal life in the sense that we can have abundant life here and now on this earth. In today's scripture, the Apostle Paul proclaims, new things have come into being, not just after death, but here in this life. Things have changed. Our perspective towards ourselves and other people have changed. The way we think about ourselves and the people around us has changed. The labels that we might have once put on ourselves and other people don't matter anymore. The only label that matters is that we and they are beloved children of God, new creations in Jesus Christ. Friends, the grace of God in this act of recreation is breathtaking to consider. And as an example, we can look to the author of the scripture we're studying today. We can think about the man once named Saul of Tarsus. If you remember from the book of Acts, Saul once helped kill Christians, once helped persecute the early church. He once helped arrest people to put in prison. He once helped drag innocent people away from their homes and families. He once saw a young man named Stephen ask God to forgive those stoning him for the sake of the gospel. He once professed that at that time he thought Christ was a stumbling block and foolishness as opposed to the one with whom we're reconciled and recreated. If we were just to behold those things from our human perspective, we might think Saul is beyond grace, beyond compassion, beyond changing. But from the perspective of Jesus Christ, Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul, one of the early leaders of the church, and the man who wrote this very scripture we're studying today, and many others that we can read in the Bible. Saul of Tarsus was reconciled with God through Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and Saul of Tarsus was recreated into Paul the Apostle through the rest of his life. But friends, that shift from human perspective to the perspective of Christ isn't an easy process. It can be hard to shake our human perspective. It's not like it immediately goes away when we get baptized, when we get confirmed, when we join a church, when we build a relationship with God. It kind of hangs around sometimes. Sometimes it still gets in the way of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. No matter how hard we try, it's still there sometimes. It still affects how we treat people and how we live in the world. And to be honest, friends, sometimes I struggle with that. I struggle with my own human perspective. I struggle with just how much the human perspective remains in the world at large, how much pain and suffering and cruelty there is in the world, much of it inflicted by human beings on other human beings. It's frustrating to consider. Because when we think about what God did for us through Christ, it should make us want to realign everything. It's such an awesome and incredible and tremendous event. The wonder of being a new creation in Christ, we should be overwhelmed. We should want to shift to the Christ-like perspective. We should want to stop and think about what we're doing and why we're doing it. After all, God changed the world and now new things are possible. The lamb might live with the wolf. Swords and spears might be beaten into plowshares and pruning hooks. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. With our human perspectives, we often don't take advantage of the possibilities that God has given us through Christ. But friends, fortunately, as new creations in Christ, we have the perspective of Christ to use now. This perspective offers forgiveness where we might have none and the world might not offer any. This perspective has grace, the same grace given to Saul of Tarsus. or the grace we might try to offer people might be a drop in the ocean compared to God's, might be a small speck in a vast universe compared to God's. God's grace is so abundant we can't even fathom it. God does have grace for all people, including those who do evil. This doesn't mean that we stop taking a stand against evil. Jesus calls us to repent and help bring near the kingdom of heaven. But it does mean that we place our trust in God's grace and not our own grace. We place our trust in God's ability to reconcile and recreate all who come to believe. Because we read in Scripture that this is not by our doing, but by the works of God. Elsewhere in Scripture, the Apostle Paul encourages us to hope for things unseen. So too do we hope against hope with our perspective in Christ, that one day everyone shall be reconciled to God and recreated into new beings that serve God, live out their calling, and care for all those on the pale blue dot. Friends, Paul himself shifts to mentioning this kind of work in verse 18. He says, "All of this is from God, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Just as God is reconciled to us, so do we do the work of reconciliation to others." Our work as bringers of the peace of Christ into the world comes from the peace God makes with us, even though we do wrong, even though we mess up, even though we're all capable of great evil, God still wants to be good with us. And so, friends, the act of God's grace is the foundation of the work that we're called to do, both for ourselves and for other people. Jesus himself in the Gospel of Matthew teaches us before we go do other things, we must first be at peace with our loved ones and our neighbors. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, Jesus teaches us, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. The ministry of reconciliation begins close by and then spreads out to everyone in our lives as we seek to imitate the work that God has done through Jesus Christ. Friends, in his beautiful words about the pale blue dot picture, Carl Sagan makes the point that the image and that tiny, tiny earth in it should encourage us to treat each other with more kindness. Now, notably, Carl Sagan was not a Christian. He professed to be an agnostic. But in this one case, I think he gets it. I think he understands the impact of that picture. And I think the point he makes is very similar to the one Paul makes in 2 Corinthians 5. From our human perspective, the world is so big, so massive, with so many possibilities. From a different perspective, the world is a tiny speck in the universe, barely a period on a page when compared to the rest of what God has made in our universe. From our human perspective, we view other people through our own bias and prejudice and lack of grace. But from a different perspective, we view people as beloved children of God, made all the more special by their differences and unique qualities. From a human perspective, we think that some people might not be capable of change, that there's no hope for a changed world. But from a different perspective, we are firm in the belief of reconciliation and recreation of everyone through Jesus Christ. From a human perspective, it might not matter how we treat each other so long as we come out on top. But from a different perspective, we're called to that ministry of reconciliation, treating each other with kindness and respect and peace as people who share space on this pale blue dot. But friends, as we continue through this season of Lent, let us work together to change our perspective to that of Christ, so that we may continue to grow our relationships with him and do the work that he has called us to do. Amen. Our closing hymn today will reiterate two of the main topics of our scripture that we studied in 2 Corinthians: the saving grace of Jesus Christ and what it means for the world around us. If you're able, let us stand and sing together number 640 in your hymnal, "Christ for the World We Sing." Please stand. Friends, thank you for joining us this morning. And if you're able to, we're about to go eat lunch in the fellowship building. Hope you join us. And as our benediction today, instead of the usual blessing, I'm going to instead pray for our food that we're about to eat. So if you'll join me in saying the Moravian blessing. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Bless our dear ones everywhere and keep them in thy loving care. Amen. Friends, go in peace today.